Bicycle Brasa.
That's our intro.
Hello everyone and welcome to Bicycle Brasa. This is the show where two Brasa talk movie news, reviews, shorts, and some cack in between. My name is Ross.
And I'm Jody.
This week we're reviewing Denzel Washington's Satting People.
Satting People.
Equalizer. Sat. Jody, you bastard. You didn't tell me it's your fucking birthday.
I don't normally go out and about.
Yeah, but like, I mean, like,
my life's
I feel
not
so bad. We just found out Abby is bad at memory things if it's not in a can.
That's why men get married, Abby.
No, I didn't know. It's the fucking, what is the date? I need to put it in my calendar.
The 6th of October, Ross. Same time as last year.
You listening to this real time. Real time, Ross, is fucking a knife.
You did get cake, though.
I got cake, but that's not what I'm about. Like,
cake for breakfast.
Cakey. I had a chocolate cake for breakfast. Switched me from a grumpy goose to a silly goose.
Yes, good energy coming through. A forgetful silly goose, but...
Yo, Jody, you bastard.
Dude, we've all got like life and work and stuff.
I know,
and
but
my
like,
life's not a musical where I go around singing, it's my birthday today. Like, what's her face? Like in Beauty and the Beast. Have you seen all the TikToks about that now?
No.
Of Bella's like, why is everyone singing about me? Because the whole town just starts singing about how she's so weird and strange. Because she reads. My TikTok's been inundated with that.
Yeah, but I did see one. Ooh, that's a good algorithm.
Solar Springs, bro.
Yeah, algos. I did see one TikTok where they were like, Belle reads the most basic fucking books and she thinks she's so much smarter than
him. Because no one else reads.
Yeah,
that's why.
But I mean, she's reading like fucking Kathy and Mark books.
Yeah. And but also, the other thing is that the guy that owns the bookstore, that has to be a front because no one reads in that town. So how does that uncle survive in a like moves a big bookshop?
It's a tax evasion money laundering scheme, maybe.
One
like
client.
Like those carpet shops in the malls.
Yes that forever have sales.
No one ever buys. I mean, they got some nice things, but like it's so expensive.
Yeah, Persian rug, 10,000 rand.
Wasn't that on Carte Blanche or something?
Probably.
Where they exposed it.
And then Derek just disappears afterwards.
Classic Derek. We should get him on the show.
Derek passed away. Another thing you didn't know.
You
know. It's both ends of the spectrum, though. It's life and death.
Oh, my God. Shame, poor Ruda.
Yeah, no, she was there for the...
She must have been.
Memorial episode.
The two tallest presenters ever to present.
Same hairstyle for both of them. Like a tight bob.
On that note, let's get into the news.
Where news and shorts.
You and I are, you still into wrestling?
No, not so much.
Yeah.
Like I'll check every now and again what's happening. But I'm not really watching stuff.
I think I'm the same. I think we came up with the same generation. Like, okay, back in the day, like British Bulldog, Ultimate Warrior,
Bret Hart,
the other Hart,
Owen.
No one really likes Owen.
Owen also died. Shame.
They all died. I think when they sign with Vince McMahon and the end of their contract, that's death.
Then you die.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. And Chris Benoit wanted out early. Too soon.
Oh, way too soon.
It's my bad.
Wait.
I'm sorry.
It will never not be too soon. Just as a rule of.
Horrible. But anyway, we are fans of that type of era of wrestling. We've seen like The Rock come up. We've seen Stone Cold. And then Hulk Hogan is a legend. Say what you want about the man. I mean.
I will admit, I partially put this in so we could cuck talk about the man.
Look. He's not the best human being.
Most pathological liar you've ever met in your life.
Also, his literally. Finishing move is bullshit.
Yeah.
It's a leg drop.
So first line. on that point. He reckons that because of doing that leg drop, he must lands on his bum all the time.
Yeah.
He says he's lost about 5 inches of height.
Sure, pal.
Yeah, over the years. Keep landing on that coccyx. Compressed his spine. He's lost some height on that one.
Oh my God. Yo, speaking of height, you follow American politics. You dabble. Mm. You know Ron DeSantis.
Mm.
So he was outed now for wearing heels, hidden heels.
Oh, of course.
So he always wears these cowboy boots with his suits.
Yeah.
And they did them, you know, internet investigators, yeah, the
you
best.
You don't want to fuck with
them. They fucking drew diagrams and everything and pointed out that he's wearing hidden heels in his boots because it doesn't make sense, the distance from his heel to his knee.
Yeah, because it's
in
like,
comparison to his femur.
There's lengths for everything.
So it's about 4 inches. Oh, and his wife apparently got it for him after Donald referred to him as Tiny D.
Yo. Look, say what you want about Donald, but that man's nicknames for people.
He's the best. Sleepy Joe.
Say what you want.
But let's talk about Lying Hulk.
So firstly, the movie, right?
Yeah.
There's been a biopic in the works for quite some time. With Chris Hemsworth attached. Todd Phillips was attached to direct as well.
Chris Hemsworth.
Yes.
As Hulk Hogan.
Yes.
Identical.
Yeah. Did you not see the pictures when Thor came out? He was training for this movie.
Yeah.
And he came out with pics with like huge biceps. And they were like, oh yeah, he's getting into character. In any case, this movie has now gone quiet. Like super, super quiet. Before the strike even. They're now blaming it on the strike, but it was quiet before that.
Yeah.
So Hulk did an interview now and he says, no, the actual thing is that it was attached to Netflix.
Didn't he say, let me tell you, brother.
Let me tell you, brother.
It was attached to Netflix,
this
brother.
This movie was attached to Netflix. And according to Hulk, now this is where we have to discuss the lying part.
Okay.
According to him, Netflix missed the deadline. And then he was like, nah, doesn't work for me, brother. And he decided he's taking it away from them and it's moving somewhere else. But don't worry, because Todd Phillips is still attached.
Ugh.
And Chris Hemsworth is still attached as well.
You know, Todd Phillips also.
Our favorite.
I used to like him when I didn't know about him.
Yeah, comedy days.
Yeah, when he just kept his back and made his movies. Mm. And the moment he started doing interviews, you're like, oh God, this guy.
Yeah.
Biopics are funny. Like, I think there should be a rule where biopics should only be made by journalists or something. Mm.
And the people who it's based on should not be involved.
Yeah.
Ideally.
I mean, are they going to have the sex scene where he has sex with his friend's wife?
Mm, and it just leaks. Are they going to have him dropping the N-word repeatedly?
Yeah.
So some of my favorite lies that Hulk Hogan has told.
Nice.
He's wrestled over 400 days in 1 year.
No.
Let me tell you how Hulk Hogan math works, kind of like apparently woman math, the current thing going on.
It's girl math, Jody.
Girl math, yeah. So Hulk Hogan math works like this, Ross. When you travel between the US and Japan enough times in the year, the constant flying back and forth, you make up days.
Ah, daylight savings. No.
Yeah, no, daylight.
Time travel.
Time travel. Because it's like, what's that, like 14 hours or some shit?
Yeah.
That's extra days that he kept getting.
Dope.
Every time.
Yeah.
He also says that when he body slammed Andre the Giant, WrestleMania 3, he tore 18 muscles in his back. And 3 days later, Andre the Giant died.
Jesus.
Andre lived for 6 years.
Has he got CTE or something?
Ooh, Hulk. Mm. No, he's a liar. He also says Elvis was a big fan. Elvis died
what?
3 years before Hulk Hogan became a wrestler. He's like that friend that just lies because they can.
Yeah.
There's no end game here.
I don't understand it, first of all, because you
anyone
are
can trick
super them. Successful too. Like, it's not like you have to lie about you being great because you're already respected in WWE.
He also rejected Metallica. Lars wanted him to play bass for Metallica.
Oh.
He said no.
Oh, is he a good bass player?
No. Metallica never met him. All of these lies are like verifiable, man. That's the thing.
Yeah. And Metallica don't keep their back. Eh?
No.
Yeah. That's so strange. But anyway, back to the movie.
It's still coming up.
I don't know. I'm not excited about this. Just because I know he's such a dick.
I assume that if he's on board, like he's part of this, like he wouldn't allow them to portray him as a douchebag.
Yeah.
Like, no, like the queen issue.
Which wrestler biopic would you like to see?
I would have liked to see his without his involvement in it. Mm. Because he was massive. Like Hulkamania was huge.
Yeah.
It put wrestling on the map yeah. for a lot of people.
I would like to see an Undertaker biopic because he was in character for so long. And so get to see like the behind the scenes yeah. of how he... That would be just.
And the role he played in wrestling as well.
Yeah, I mean, was straight up... When I played... What was that game?
SmackDown.
No. Before even PS1.
Oh, the Sega game.
Yes.
Yeah. I got him.
I only chose Undertaker. Mm. Yo, he was just... Mm-hmm. And then The Rock, I don't think you need a biopic for The Rock because he's already, like everyone knows what he does all the time.
I like the idea of Undertaker because that's where they still had that thing of like you don't break kayfabe. Like you stay in character and what happens behind the scenes stayed behind the scenes. Now it's like this accepted thing that everything's out in public.
Yeah.
Everyone knows the storyline, all that shit.
I'd like to see that or the like villain origin story of Vince McMahon. That would be dope.
Vince would never... He would never.
It'll be like the Blackberry movie.
Yes. It'd be some dark shit
there. That wrestling movie with Dungas is coming out soon. High School Musical guy.
Zac Efron, he plays the Von Erichs. Yeah. That, and they were also another big wrestling family. So that should be
cool. Yes, he got big, eh? Shit.
And he's on some weird shit because he's head.
Yeah, he looks like a pit bull.
I think that's like growth hormone that does that shit. Because it's like his head is big, his body is big. It's not healthy.
I thought he was dead in jail.
Just when you thought that it was over.
So Julia Ormond, actress.
A famous actress. She starred in things like Legends of the Fall, First Night, Smiller Sense of Snow, which I didn't really know. She's suing Harvey Weinstein for sexual battery. But what's interesting here is that she's also suing Disney and her former agency, CAA.
As enablers.
Mm. Which, if this sets a precedent for accountability, it's going to be quite a massive thing.
Yeah, bruh, because like, how does a man get away with this for so long? It's people not doing anything about
exactly.
it. And knowing about it.
Yeah, I mean... It keeps coming out now, right? That film about the ladies at Fox who were also assaulted and things.
Yeah.
Every single time these patterns of abuse are exposed, it's like, well, we all kind of knew it was happening and no one was doing anything about it.
Yeah.
Not the studios that they belong to, not any agents, no one.
Yeah.
And this woman's case comes like from 1995. She went straight to her agents afterwards, told them what happened, and they were like, yeah, you kind of have to let it slide.
Wow.
You just have to like be chill on this. And she's saying that executives at Disney at the time, it's from that time, so not the current executives.
Yeah.
They also knew and they did fuck all. So,
and CAA is a massive company.
Yeah.
They're like one of the biggest in Hollywood.
Yeah. Oh, the other, it's obviously Miramax as well.
Yeah.
Obvious company too. But yo, dude, if they set a precedent here where they say these companies are liable as well, then imagine like going forward. If more cases come out, what happens? Then they're going to say, well, we have a precedent now that these the actual companies that funded these films and funded these people are also in cuck.
But that...
My phone died.
It's okay. It's your birthday. But this is how you eat them. You eat them in the pockets.
You have to. I mean, I don't want to go into details of what he did.
Yeah. It's gross. But this is how you get the companies to be more accountable because... Companies are not people. They have one thing to do.
Make profits.
Exactly. And the people who work there are not going to do anything to get in the way of that. So how do you... You have to eat them in the pockets.
Wear it.
Oh, wear.
Harvey's attorney. The current defense is... So much time has passed since this happened. And
Harvey doesn't even remember.
Why would this take so long? And Harvey's looking forward to defending himself. I'm like, did you not find... He was just found guilty of a whole lot of old stuff. And your defense was literally like, this is a whole old stuff.
Yeah,
and
but Harvey, they have no other case, Johnny. The thing is, we know he did it.
Yes.
So it's just a matter of proving the enablement. And
he's been accused by over 100 women. He's been found guilty. He's been convicted of rape in two different jurisdictions. And the defense is still, How dare this person come forward many years later?
No, fuck that. Fuck them all.
Fuck Harvey.
No, and fuck everyone who was involved. Yes. Just burn the whole thing to the ground.
Burn it.
WGA.
Yeah, some good news.
Some great news, bro. God, finally. The writers are back at work, baby. Bro,
they gave them everything they asked for. At the start of the strike.
Nice.
Everything. And all at point of us recording, all they had to do was ratify the contract, but it was essentially stating
ratify
it. And there's like no issue.
Bomba clat.
They could have saved so much money.
They always, like I just said in the previous story, they're always gonna do what makes them more money. So they thought they could wait them out.
Yeah.
They thought that, oh no, they're going to fucking be broke and die off and they're going to give in. But they didn't give in.
What's interesting, like, I actually encourage people to go and read this Guardian article.
I'm just glad you encourage people.
I really do. Mm. I encourage reading. I've got a Kindle now.
Birthday Jody got a Kindle. It's a paperwhite.
Yeah.
A paperback.
Yeah.
And front.
So what they're saying in this article here is that the woman that was leading the negotiations on behalf of, like, same other the execs, she's married to an attorney who typically does all the work for these types of companies when they go into negotiating with unions and stuff.
Don't they have to set up a what do they call it, a Chinese wall?
What is that?
Didn't you watch Suits?
Jen and I are currently rewatching.
It's when you have two lawyers in the same firm working on different sides of the case. So they have to set up, I think it's called a Chinese wall, if I remember correctly. We watched enough court dramas.
You should know this.
And hey, lying, I'm not lying.
And the confidence with which he says it leads me to believe it's a thing.
He tells me stuff often and then it's a lie.
That's untrue.
That's fucking true.
No, the way you phrase that is just like a lie, like I'm Hulk Hogan.
He's saying it more confidently, so I'm going to go with Russ on this one.
Thank you. You work in the same building or office, and you have no contact with each other until the case is done.
Harvey and Lewis Lip.
Yeah. So, if they are married,
but both aren't working in this case. They both weren't working.
I see.
She's married to this guy who does the same shit.
Okay.
Their tactic was basically, like, we hear you out. Mm. You asking for, you want 100 rand? Here's a 2 rand.
Nice.
And then when it gets rejected, they go quiet for months.
Yeah.
Then they again say, okay, what do you want to do? Mm. You want 100 rand? Here's a 5 rand.
Nice.
And then they go quiet for months. So they kept waiting for them to break. And with the previous strike, what also happened was that the writers who came from big shows, they were the ones who encouraged the writers in smaller shows to actually come to the table and take a deal that was not really the best deal at the time. And this time around, everyone was united. They said, we're sticking this out together. Whatever we all decide is the way we want to go is the way we're going to go.
Yep.
And they got what they wanted.
Amazing.
Fuck the studios.
Amazing. I love it.
They work fast because now with that increase and stuff,
billions.
Where are they going to take that money from? There's going to be shortcuts somewhere else based on just generally how a corporation would work.
I think it is going to be, especially for the streamers, I think they're going to make less content.
There's that, and also apparently Netflix is just waiting for the SAG strike to end, and then they're gonna increase the cost for subscription. So
it always falls back on
ad revenues coming into like streamers as well. So you need to pay for like packages without advertising, otherwise you're gonna get advertising. So they are already.
Do you
want to
see
that.
Advertising?
They're already thinking about what you're talking about.
But then you better chip in for Netflix. That's what I'm saying. You don't want to see adverts, bitch. You better fucking chip in.
Get into that premium category, yo.
Because Abby hasn't seen an advert on YouTube for years, and she didn't know why. And then someone else showed her something on YouTube, and she's like, "Why is there an ad here?" The privilege.
Then I realized they were a povo.
They were povos who didn't have premium. Oh my god!
But again, SAG-AFTRA, I don't know the entire negotiation thing. But studios sometimes pay a lot of money for certain actors. I mean, actors' salaries are huge. Yeah. So I wonder if we'll see a drop in that.
There's that, but also, I mean, we're not even talking yet about just cutting down on the insane bonuses that these studio execs get.
Ooh.
Because you're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars. Even when with the negotiations now, they were doing like some of the interviews were being done at these like executive retreats that cost like tens of millions of dollars to just keep there as like a place for when you need it.
Yeah.
So in reality, they're not taking money from those spaces.
No.
But
these no, but maybe they are. Maybe they. Let's hope that they decide to do the right thing. I mean, and be like, okay, maybe we don't need
maybe
you know like a $20 million fucking retreat or something.
Yeah.
You know, just cut where you can.
Cursor.
Sec. It's time for a review.
This week we are reviewing The Equalizer. Sat sat sat.
Sat sat sat.
Mm-hmm. Directed by Antoine Fuqua. Since giving up his life as a government assassin, Robert McCall finds solace in serving justice on behalf of the oppressed. Now living in southern Italy, he soon discovers his new friends are under the control of local crime bosses. As events turn deadly, McCall becomes the protector by taking on the mafia. So this movie reunites Denzel Washington with Dakota Fanning. I don't know if you saw all of the... they did like quite a few shoots together.
Yeah, no, like I would reunion. Too.
And then we have a clump of unknown people in this movie. No, that, like lots of Italian actors. Eugenio Mastrandia, David Denman from The Office, Roy, is also in here in like a small role.
Yeah.
Gaius Cotelario, Remo Girone plays Enzo, Andrea Scarduzio, Andrea Dodero, Daniel Peroni. There are two Andreas here. So a lot of unknown Italian actors.
It's a popular name in that region.
Yeah, legitimizes the setting.
Naples.
Naples.
Yeah, Equalizer 3. I did not think that we would see...
a part 3.
Yes, after part 2. Because same. I really did not enjoy part 2.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was bloated and boring
and overproduced and just like such a waste of a concept is what it felt like they drifted way too far from what actually made the first movie interesting.
It was a real misstep. I don't even know what they were going for in that film.
I just keep thinking about the ending, like the CGI storm and just, why man,
by the lighthouse and it was long.
Yes, so part 2 was by all accounts a terrible movie.
So I was like, okay, this is done. It sucks because the first one was so cool.
And Denzel's first sequel. He's never done a sequel. Never, ever.
This is his only franchise.
Yeah.
So I was disappointed. And then they said Equalizer 3. And I was like, ugh, Equalizer 3.
What are you going to do after
after whatever. That drivel? And then I started getting buzz about it. Like the people were like, okay. And then the box office kept rolling and it kept making money and people are like, oh, wow, okay, maybe he's back. Maybe Denzel's back.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay.
Well, you know what? They'll find out from our review now, Ross.
I'm sitting in the scene.
Yeah, they'll find out.
Anyways, so we start off, Harold Christie is, I'm just going to call him Christie.
I kept calling him Christie.
I'm just going to call him Christie. I was calling him Creasy on the couch as well. Because if you don't know, Creasy is his character from Man on Fire, which is a great film.
Yes.
I fucking love that movie.
And is actually a very good callback.
So, Man on Fire, watch it, I think. Yes. Dakota Fanning was 10 years old in that film.
Astonishing.
That's how I know. Because even Denzel was like, I saw in the interviews, he was like, she's a... he was blown away at the amount of talent in that little girl.
Yeah.
Anyway, the intro to this film is amazing.
And immediately makes you feel like this is not that.
Yeah.
Whatever part 2 was,
this
is not that.
No, I loved the suspense that was building in that little intro. You don't know what's going on. Yeah. You arrive at this villa. And there's just like dead. I mean, people are scared, first of all.
Yes.
And then they go into the building and you see the aftermath of what just happened.
Carnage.
Yeah.
Just pure carnage. Some people have got burns. Yeah. Some don't have faces.
I was like, how did he burn that guy? Stabbings and shootings. Mm. But there's a guy burned.
Yeah.
Cleaver in the head.
Yes. Through the middle. That guy's face was so fucked. It was like, is that the front or back of his head?
Because I think he was bald.
Yeah.
Anyway, and Christy is there and he's waiting for the two guards finally came in and they have him at gunpoint.
Yeah.
This is the equalizer.
Also, this opening scene, we're not spoiling anything because the scene's available online now.
It's available online. Is it?
Yeah, the opening scene. They put it out online.
I trust you.
You know this. That's why you were saying all of this.
I don't know. That's really not. I just started talking about
damn the Ross. They don't know that. You don't know.
I'll edit this out. So he's sitting there waiting. And this is inherently what made number one so great.
Yes.
He's sitting there. And he's like 9 seconds.
Well, he's sitting there frantically cleaning the ring.
Yeah, so the OCD comes into play. Things that we know from the first one. And he's like, you have 9 seconds to decide whatever. Yeah. After the whole dialogue.
This guy doesn't know he's dead.
Yeah. And the way he just disposes of them is beautiful. So when we started the farm, I googled his age.
Denzel.
Mm. Mm. 68.
He's spry.
No, but that's the thing. So when it started, everyone was like, oh, he's fucking old. So I'm like, yeah, he's old. But the way the action takes place, it's believable to the point that he does minimal movement possible in order to dispose of, the people.
But they incorporate it into his character.
Exactly.
His character is pragmatic to the nth degree, so all he does is exactly what he needs to.
Exactly. That's why it makes one so great, is because he brings them back to the fucking macro where he works. No, Boulder's Warehouse, He works at Boulder's. Mm. And he's got his nail guns.
Again.
Amazing. So this fucking first scene sets the tone.
It immediately grounds this movie
in
a way that the last one felt like they gave money and they said, Keiki,
take everything up
in this one. And I think that the director, to his credit, because I felt like just from that first scene, I felt like it was a new director.
Yeah.
I was so surprised when I saw Antoine. When I saw his name on it, I was like, whoa.
Yeah. So then after all that, he does what he came to do and then he's leaving. And then he gets shot by a child in the back.
We said like he let the child go.
Well, he's not going to kill a child.
True. Very much with The Wire, huh?
Yeah.
Almost thing.
So then they shoot him in the back. Also a great scene. And this is why I think Denzel just might be the greatest living actor. Like these moments in the year that just made me go, yo, this guy is the fucking best man. When he gets shot and he like turns around and he doesn't know like the way, it's so realistic.
The way he does all of that.
Every mannerism and every his body language, his face, everything is so fucking believable and realistic. Mm. It's insane.
Yeah.
That moment that we're talking about, the call back to Man on Fire, he where he tries to
And the other thing that is so important to note is that we have no context for why he's here.
No.
We don't understand why he's done what he's done.
Yeah.
We don't know why he's in Italy.
No. We know nothing.
Because the last movie was in Boston.
Yeah.
Now he's in Italy. No context.
No. So it's
just
great.
Embrace it.
Yeah.
Just go with it.
The gun jams.
Yeah.
Doesn't work. So he tries to take a road trip.
Yeah, he takes a ferry. As you do when you're shot. You know?
And he's bleeding out. And then a policeman finds him along the side of the road and takes him to the local doctor in...
That little town.
Antantalope.
Yeah. It does have a beautiful name, actually.
Yeah, and the doctor sort of fixes him up and figures out, okay, this isn't a accident.
Yeah. But he very specifically asks him, Are you
a good man?
Are you a good man?
And he says, I don't know.
I got no fucking idea.
Yeah. Because he doesn't. I mean, he does the most violent things.
And he loves doing the violence.
Yeah,
That's the other thing. He needs that violence in his life.
Which, again, is the performance. But we'll get to that.
And that also, again, ties it back to part one. Because in part one, that was his struggle.
Yeah.
Is that he made that promise that he wouldn't go back to that life.
Yeah.
But he needs that shit. Mm-hmm. Like, he is an insomniac who can't sleep. He's, like, struggling to actually function. And as soon as he starts doing that shit where he can, like, get rid of some bad guys.
Yeah. Then he's like, oh, sleep like a baby.
Yeah. Knows a couple level.
So, plot-wise, it's cool. Mm. We get to see him in a new setting. He kind of, he's still struggling with things. You can see, like, even at this point, he's been equalizing for a while now.
Yeah.
And yeah, in this
Altamonte.
Altamonte. Yeah, is that from Assassin's Creed?
I don't know.
Oh. Anyway.
I don't have a PS5.
But you have a Kindle.
I got a Kindle.
So.
We're just bragging about our tech.
Mm. Lame. So the struggle that he has here is he's been equalizing for a long time, and it's gotten to the point where he's starting to question, is he a good man or not?
Yeah.
And it seems like he's thinking of retiring from retirement.
Yeah, retiring from his initial retirement of
doing all the shit. And in this town, he starts to fall in love with the people, like, as he recovers, which is actually quite nice to see. So,
and quite a nice change of pace also, because they embrace the fact that he actually had to recuperate.
Yeah.
He needed to heal.
Yeah, and he couldn't move.
Yeah, and what Jen was saying that I thought was interesting is that in most movies, they skip over that part. You know, it's like in the beginning of the movie, Steven Seagal gets hurt.
Well, you're talking about 90s and 80s action.
I am.
Yeah, that's...
you know, he gets hurt.
That's not important.
And then, but then it's like the recuperation is like a montage.
Yeah.
Just like
of him running. With his arms flailing to the side.
Please Google.
Yeah, Steven Seagal running.
And find any John Leguizamo video linked on.
Anyway. Yeah, they usually skip over that. But this is part of...
It's a key part because, like, him wrestling with all of that stuff.
Physical healing and emotional healing, exactly. Jody.
But it's so important to his character.
Yeah.
You know, like the decisions he's making and where he's at.
Mm.
And then he also places that phone call.
Yeah.
And he's like, Keiki, you might want to go visit this plot in Naples.
I was just passing through like a fucking tornado. And then I saw this guy.
F5
And then, there's some fucking shit going down there. Mm. And then that involves...
the CIA and Dakota Fanning's character.
Lita. Lupita.
Lita Lupita.
No, what's her name? Man on Fire? Lupita, I think.
Mm. Yeah. Maybe he's giving us a yeah.
Yeah. We still need to check, though.
Yeah.
Pita.
Pita. Yeah. But it's probably Lupita.
It's probably, Pita Ramos. Yeah, I could go for Peter right now.
Ah. Tzatziki.
It's the only thing I eat from Nando's.
Mm.
I don't eat anything
else. The rest
else.
Is too expensive.
Yeah.
So yeah, her character gets involved.
Yeah.
And no spoilers right now, but I immediately knew who she was.
Like, oh, I didn't. I forgot about that connection.
I was like, this isn't rocket science here. She's clearly.
But then again, I was more focused on the Italian.
Restaurant.
And look, all of the characters.
Tabacci.
All of these Italian characters that are introduced are like, they are also like fully formed people, man.
Are they though?
Like caricatures, yes, but also they serve the story in a very realistic way. They didn't feel like story fodder to me. They felt like interesting people that he's engaging with.
Yeah.
You could see why he develops a love for that place.
Yes.
For the people that are there.
I get that.
There's just enough of that.
Yeah.
Not too much. Because this movie's only an hour 40.
That's fine. I mean, pacing-wise, there's not that much action. I'll tell you that now.
Yes. People might be surprised.
Yeah, they're going for like, bah, 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 bah. Mm. It's not that. It is way better paced than the second film. Because the second film, I felt like, yo, can we fucking kill somebody now?
And what action there is better, I think.
Yeah, the quality.
Yeah.
Action quality.
Yeah, and quality is good.
Yo, did you finish The Continental?
No.
You should.
I haven't started.
Finish your podcast.
And then talk about Continental. Time. We were good with our news today, Abby.
Yeah, got enough time. I'm seeing the numbers right here.
Mm.
And you interrupting us is actually wasting seconds.
Yeah, she's not even making video content. She's sitting on the phone. She's not even making content.
Not even. It's too late. Okay, I'll make
it. In any case. Huh? Huh? Is it back to that discussion?
Yeah.
You're sitting barefoot.
Yeah, just now she go and strike you.
You've been telling her about strikes.
Terms and conditions.
Just hold up.
We support strikes until it affects us.
Yeah. Then we're full on executives.
So, great quality action. Mm. You're right. Look, it's hyper violent. but grounded at the same time.
And you know what I think they did that was, for me, kind of throwback, is that Denzel's character is framed like the boogeyman.
Yeah.
He's framed like the killer in a slasher movie. Because they do that one scene, that the first person view where he thinks back to what happened in the opening scene. Yeah. That looked like Halloween, yeah, like Michael Myers.
It really did. I mean, he's sticking knives and things
through
people.
In the face,
my bro.
I love that. And the rest of the time, how he kills as well.
It's the first time, isn't the first time that we see him sort of reflect on the things that he's done in that first person view.
Very much.
Yeah.
So I love that. And I love the framing of him as the stalking.
Yes.
You know, like a boogeyman who they don't need to show all the action, but the way they show it is just brilliant.
There was some racism at the coffee shop, though. He asked for tea. And then the white waiter's like, yeah, it's fine. And then he fucks off. And then they send the black woman out.
And then she says, tea's for old men. And,
yeah,
and
but British. I mean, actually, now he only gets served by the black woman. She's half his fucking age.
Yeah, don't be ageist. Yo, don't be ageist. Denzel can chase too.
Yeah, but I mean,
shame he's got so a stroke lip going also.
He does, yo.
He had a stroke.
Because it looks on the one side like Bichi Rocky Balboa.
He always have a lip thing. I don't know, but it seems weird.
Did you see his finger? So he broke his finger, I think playing basketball, and they never fixed it properly. So he's got like a dangly finger that just hangs. You in Man on Fire, you can see it a lot because he's like holding guns and stuff. Just look.
Maybe that's just how he holds guns, because it's Denzel. Does that with class, you know?
No, this is true facts I'm spitting.
I'm saying maybe.
No, you people don't trust me.
We do. I do. You do the facts for this show.
Yes. Anyway. So yeah, no, I'm just kidding about the racism, but I get it.
Back to the story.
Yeah.
So Denzel is in this town and obviously shit's gonna start unfolding. So he starts seeing like bitchy bribery here, bitchy threat over here, but he holds out.
Yeah, he doesn't engage.
He keeps seeing.
Because he's trying to end it, right? And he's trying to end that life and he wants to leave this place eventually, but he's struggling to actually leave.
Yeah.
And there's this gang that is harassing the people. They pay them protection from them.
Yeah.
what do you call that?
I don't think his intention was to leave the place at all.
But he didn't know.
He had to go back because he had that bag, remember?
Yeah, he was going to leave and then they burned that place down.
But that was where he was going to end up.
Well, started to realize that.
No, but I agree with Abby. In his head, I don't think he realized that he wasn't intending to leave. He was like, no, I need to leave, I need to go. But he keeps finding reasons to stay. And then he has like that moment where it's like, okay, cool.
I said that as well.
Buying into it. I'm going now. I'm staying.
So what do you call that? Racketeering.
Yeah.
Yeah. Racketeering is drugs, there's the works, and it's actually connected to like this mafia family in Naples. And they arrest this town for some these poor
such
people.
Such a small town.
Yeah, I know.
But like, so little. They're only buying from each other. There's no money coming from outside.
It's not a fucking... Yeah, it's not like it's a golden goose or something. Yeah. This bra is fishing in the morning and selling the fish
in the afternoon. But the guy that heads up that mafia family, his idea is to turn it into like this little like tourism resort and build a casino and all the shit. So he needs properties
and he needs
money.
So that is like essentially the plot. I don't know if you want to go into the mechanics of the terrorism.
And they
terrorism.
Do. I was going to say they do. Nah, it's just by the by.
But because that's how they involve Peter, right? Because she works for the CIA.
Yeah. And he called her because he said, you might want to go check out this place.
Where Abby had a question about jurisdiction. Do the CIA only get involved if it's terrorism? Because they couldn't do anything with the Italians.
Yeah.
But the moment they involved the Syrians, they were like, brown people.
Yeah. What they said was they didn't care about that. Because
they couldn't. Remember? Because they go look at the place and they say they found the drugs and the money. Yeah. But they can't do anything about the money.
Yeah.
They can only do the drugs because it's connected to the brown people.
And the connection there is that the drugs that they find, which is essentially like methamphetamine.
It's war drugs.
It's war drugs. It makes the people go for days on end. Like they take those things and they can just keep fighting and fighting.
Yeah.
So it's like this is a new way that the war is being funded or what encouraged or pursued or whatever.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, casual racism.
Yeah, casual racism. That's the general plot. Mm. Performance-wise, again, Denzel, next level, bruh. Yeah. It's a fucking masterclass. I don't care what people say. It's maybe not be, might be the best film. Of the, you know, I know he did Othello, and apparently that's amazing. But no, Macbeth. He did Macbeth. I think he did Macbeth. In black and white.
Lawrence Fishburne did Othello.
Yes.
Don't you dare mix him up again.
I apologize. It's just there's only one black role in Shakespeare plays.
I'll talk about that guy that kept mixing up Sam Jackson.
And yeah. I wasn't in The Matrix.
They look exactly the same.
Masterclass. Some of the most convincing sleeping I've ever seen.
Astonishing.
No, really. Because there's that scene after they take the bullets out of his back and he's tipping, but he looked like an old man.
He was really.
He's fucking loving it.
He's like, I'm a method actor. Hit me with an anesthetic.
So, again, where you see the performance shine is his engagement with the people, him being normal, and the moment he decides to get involved.
Yeah.
And when he speaks to the criminals.
Yeah. Yeah, that is. Yeah. I think this is my favorite version of the character.
I think so too.
Like, of the three movies, this is like the beats, he's like, he knows this character now, but he's also evolved it to a point of.
Yeah.
The way that he handles these character struggles and all that shit is next level.
The Italians are Italian. I didn't think the main mafia boss was that great. There were times where it was a bit dodgy, but it's fine. Mm. It's fine.
Look, and they establish him as like this really evil threat with that thing, you know, the negotiation in that apartment, and they just like kill a bra.
Yeah.
And it's like, leave the body there. So
let them see. Yeah.
Yeah. It's very, like, I'd say,
I think the younger brother was good as the little shitbag.
Yeah. Who wants to
fucking
do more.
Collector bastard.
There's always a brother.
Yeah. Yes.
There's always an Indian brother. Every family has one.
Mm.
And then
if you don't know who it is, then you are the young brother.
Pita doesn't have much to do. It was really good to see her, though.
And they.
I would like to see more.
Yeah, but now there's speculation that it could be sort of passed on.
Maybe. The way they interact. There's like this knowing, you know, knowing tribute to the past, but also there's, they got chemistry.
It's like people that met for the first time that feel like they know each other for a long time. Yeah. And you get that vibe from the start. They keep trying to outsmart each other with the conversations. Mm. But I felt like Creasy was just so brilliant. Like the dialogue written for him in this film, it's so good. His answers to things, especially when he's talking to the criminals or he's talking to her.
Mm.
That scene that became a meme, I don't. One, to spoil it for you. Who can do that except Denzel, my bro?
He's dipping. He's dipping a tea bag.
He's dipping a tea bag.
And he has us by the tea bag. While he's dipping it. No, it's...
And let's talk about the action finally. Mm. We are running out of time. Abby was right in the end. Once again, my life as usual. Mm. Because the time went like that.
You won.
So, action-wise, you 100% right. It is better than the second one. Mm. It's slick. It's hyper-violent.
The brutality cannot, like, I really can't. And if I'm saying this is brutal.
Mm. It's brutal. It's rough.
It is the most brutal out of this franchise by far.
And you understand why he loves a knife.
Mm.
There's nothing better than a good knife.
And it's like this nice, like, slow burn into ultra...
Yes.
Violence.
Yes.
Yeah.
And even the climax, I felt like, this is perfect.
Yeah.
There's no, without doing spoilers, there's no like, the guy at the top is the most hardcore and they have this battle and stuff like that. There's none of that.
Yeah.
It is just Creasy doing what he was fucking born to do.
Yes.
And I love the way it ended.
I love the way it ended. I love the slow burn building up to it where you can see he is like, you feel him holding it in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like he gets to a point where he's just like.
In the restaurant.
He's just like, they really worry.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, the brother, fucking, after the altercation at the restaurant, he's like, Yeah, this guy keeps getting involved. And I'm like, himself. Yeah, I also wanted him to make it. What was that nerf called?
The kak and spat nerf.
Yeah. That's a scientific term, actually. Yeah. The brother fucking sucks kak with him. Mm. He didn't even fucking get involved there. He was just glaring at him.
But this is the thing. And this is where I think Denzel walks that line so perfectly as this character. He wants to get violent with people. That's why he deliberately does that to that brother in front of all those people.
Yeah.
He makes him into like, you are nothing. And he knew at that point, this brother has to retaliate.
Yeah.
And then he retaliates and I can do...
No, but he anticipated everything.
I can do crazy shit. He walks that line so well of like he's restrained, he enjoys the quiet life, but at some point he also needs to, if there's injustice.
Yeah. No, come on. Look, is the potgrief or potgrief for you?
Oh, this is such a lekker potgrief.
My baru smak.
Like. This is smak. Like it is, there's a warm bread next to my potgrief this week. And the butter is melting.
Smelting. Is it garlic butter?
That's garlic butter.
Nah, it's a potgrief for me as well. Especially coming from a braai that was a potkak to come back to the same braai.
And they're making a potgrief now.
My bro.
With that same pot.
No way.
With no kak.
With the same pot. Same
person.
Same Dixel. Same
knife.
Pita is the daughter of the woman.
Yeah, his best friend.
His best friend that was from the CIA.
Yeah, I called it early.
I didn't
where she said the line, why did you come to me? And then he doesn't explain to her. I was like, it must be that daughter.
And he
is a red card. Because when her mother died, there was no reference to her anything.
Yeah, that's fine. But because it's part two. It doesn't count.
No one cares.
So he mentions a black book. I thought that she would pick up on that, but the only one she knew.
When she saw it.
Afterwards, because he sends her the things and he sends her the black book. And the only reason he went to fucking Italy was to collect a man's pension that he lost.
And they kept saying
this. Now you have to explain this. Yeah. Explain the entire... The entire fucking operation.
Yeah.
But
quick.
Yes.
So that guy that he went to in the beginning, they have a cybercrime network where they steal a bitchy here, bitchy there. When they like break into your PayPal account, it's the Owens that were doing it.
Yeah.
And they stole a brass pension in Boston. And Denzel was doing his lift gig. He was driving this bra. And the bra just told him.
Yeah.
And then he was like, you know what? Going to Naples now. That's how he ended up there.
366,400.
Yeah. Because that's, and he takes that money,
he takes
hard cash.
Exactly.
Speaking of hard cash, did you see the 200 rand notes when they showed the money?
No.
There was a clump 200
Mandela's.
Rand notes right in front.
Yeah. I didn't see that.
So, literally, like the thing that we don't know why Denzel was there, it was doing his equalizer shit.
Exactly. On like, that small level.
On that small level. That's all he cared about.
Yeah.
Everything else, like he says, like, I saw these things there. He literally just saw it. And he's like, I'm going to also tell them there's this cut going on.
Yeah.
Brilliant. I actually loved that.
It was brilliant.
And the way he frames it, because he tells that him and that old man have like a tete-a-tete, right? Him and the Don.
I also liked, just go back to the doctor when he asked him, are you a good man? And he said, I don't know. Then they reference it again. And he says, like,
why
do you
call?
Think I'm a good man? And he said, when I asked you if you were a good man, only a good man would say, I don't know.
Love that line. Yeah.
Because he's constantly fighting with that.
Yes.
So when he's talking to the bad man.
Yeah, he tells him, like, I know what you are.
Yeah.
I actually thought that was like the opening scene and the movie's going to be a flashback. When he was lying there shot in the back, I'm like, okay, they're going to show us how he got to that point. Nice.
No, that was the intro.
Canti Calanti. He was literally just there.
Calanti.
They stole a pension.
Italian.
He's getting that pension on cash.
Like, who killed my brother situation. And then he speaks, like, and then it's that whole thing that goes down. And I'm like, he's like, yeah, we're coming back for you. And I'm like, my brother's nice, gonna take you out.
But even that scene where they're like, oh, get call him now. And he's like, I'm right here. He's got two guns. Right here. Let's do it. Mm. And then they start filming the gangsters so that they don't kill them in obviously cold blood. And he's like, I'm coming back for him. He's like, hurry up. Yeah. Hurry up. I'm right here. And
but,
I'm like, yo,
but you know what was cool there is that he puts his guns down because he's like, he doesn't want people in the town.
Collateral damage.
He doesn't want collateral damage to the people here. And then the town comes to his defense. They come out with their own guns and whip their phones out and they're like,
because an old woman giving you a lemon, that brings you into
the town. You are into the town. You're part of it. This is for your tea.
Because that's what happens. She said, yeah, you smack tea. Here's a limoncello. Yeah. And he was like,
well, he's now one of them.
Yes. And it's symbolized by the lemon. Mm. The only callback I'm upset about is that it didn't refer to the lemon again.
That would have been.
That was
a booster
lemon.
Jessica's still eating. That's why.
That's a premium Woolies lemon that they got there.
You don't get lemons like that in the shop, bro.
That lemon was round, my bro.
Speaking of, we bought potatoes from like Jenna's cousin as a farm. My bro, one potato. If you want to make a bag of chips, that's one potato. So good.
Yo, my bro, give a potato there. We can eat on it for the week.
No, but it's mash for the whole week.
Nice. So, the bigger picture in terms of the operation is they started with that cyber thing. They got the money. Mm. Then they bought the war drugs from the Syrians to sell it in Europe and then use that funding to open hotels, casinos, and so on.
Yes.
That was the whole operation. Yeah. The Syrians were then taking that money and using it for terrorist acts in Europe. So they did bomb Italy with the money that they were getting from selling the war drugs.
And Mr. Creasy's whole thing in this movie is that you end up where you're supposed to be.
Yeah.
So he literally is living that out in this movie.
It was pure coincidence.
That he was, that speech that he has with that light TV, he's like, 3 days from now, I wouldn't be here.
Yeah. That's true.
But I'm here now.
Yeah. Peace out. And then the final scene, the action scene, the climax. Brilliant. It's again, you talk about him being the boogeyman. That's where we got to see him being the boogeyman.
The boogiest of
boogeymen. The boogie wonderland of boogeymen. He came out and he stealthed all those motherfuckers, man, bro.
And you just see there's a bitchy blood dripping. Yeah, there's a... Like Garrett does, bro.
Yeah, but that was the biggest surprise where he fucks the one up. The other O goes to check on him and he starts to choke this guy.
Yeah.
Now you think, he choked him dead. When the main line is running through the house seeing the aftermath, he fucking touches that body. That brother's head falls off. So he choked him so hard that his fucking head came off.
Yeah, because that's a wire. That Garrett is a wire, my bro. You know how Jenna laughed with that head fall off? She was like, that brother's head came off.
But also, so brilliant, he kills the main guy by feeding him the war drugs and he fucking literally stops his heart. And he
just takes him into town.
He dies in the street like a dog.
On the drugs that he was selling. So that's how the news reports.
It was so poetic.
He consumed the drugs that he was selling.
That's why the true lesson of this film is don't get high on your own supply.
Yeah. Crack's whack.
Nah, I had so much fun with this one. I say fun, but I'm mainly just relieved that they sort of saved the franchise.
Yeah, same.
And they ended. If this is the last one, he's 68 years old.
I don't know how much longer he can go, dude. Like you say, there's a potential like passing of the torch here in that he sets up Dakota's Fanning's character in the way that she can now be helping people, right?
Yeah.
Because he also makes her give the money back to the guy with the pension.
Yes, he makes her give the money back. And that's why it has been said... It was supposed to be the last one. And then Antoine Fuqua said in interviews, like, maybe it depends on Denzel. He has an idea for a sequel and a prequel.
Ah.
But it all
please
depends.
Please don't do de-aging.
No. Well, no.
Fuck, if you're doing a prequel, please.
I would like to see Creasy maybe in the past. But maybe the story where he decides that...
He's leaving the...
Yeah,
the
thing. Something like that. But anyway, this is driven by Denzel and Antoine.
Yeah.
And Denzel has said the movie that people ask him about the most that's coming out is The Equalizer.
I mean, you can understand
and
why.
And people ask him, where's the new Equalizer movie coming out? He says all the time, including his own doorman. So
Relatable. My doorman's also asking me about Equalizer all the time.
Well, I'm the doorman in this fucking house. I get it. There's a real connection with fans with this franchise. Mm. They really do love it. This is where I think Liam Neeson missed a trick.
Mm.
Well, first of all, doing good films, but
not pissing himself.
Making it believable.
Yes. And the way they did part three, that's how you can keep doing more of these movies. Because the few action scenes that they are done so well.
Yeah.
Intensely brutal, all of that, right? But the character does it in a way that's believable for his age.
Yeah.
It's fun to watch all of that.
Yeah.
And if you want to make a part four, I'm on board.
No, I'm on board. This is the type of stories
that they're
telling. Exactly. Don't give me another two. Keep this trajectory. Keep this quality.
Mm.
And make me invested in the characters. That's what I want. And I want justice.
Yes.
Well, I do have one crit, which is the music for me was a little jarring. But that was in the beginning. Music should never pull you out of a film.
It should add to.
Yeah. So in the beginning, it did pull me out of it. But afterwards, it finished strong. So yeah, strong port crit for me. Strong port crit for you. It's a dope movie that I think your daddy will love.
Love it. And you will too.
Yeah. Shout outs this week
to Loki Clothing, Loki ZA, Loki _ clothing on Instagram. They've got some dope clothes. We are yucking out the Gathering Loki tops. You've got the black, I've got the white. They've also just released Nature's Therapy, their new collection.
They have the new online store set up. They got shorts.
They've got t-shirts, they've got hats. They do winter, summer clothing. They do alles wat malles. We've been coming on with Loki for years and years now.
We've been supporting Loki.
Mm-hmm. So if you're interested, Loki _ clothing on Instagram. You can also send them an email, lokingclothingza@gmail.com.
Yeah, and use the promo code BicycleBrasa to get nothing because it's already on discount. So exactly. Don't be a dickhead.
Mm. Don't be a dwarf. That's all.
Give them a model pose, Jody. Whoa! Jesus Christ!
I've been working on it.
Holy shit! That was amazing.
That's my blue steel.
Yo, La Tigre Ferrari and blue steel all in one. Yeah. Yo, that's just. So what happens now?
Where do people find us, Ross? They can find us on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, YouTube, BicycleBrasa Podcast. And you can write to us, BicycleBrasa@gmail.com.
The moment you add something new, it totally throws me off the game. Just
off.
But anyway, stay safe out there and remember, be good for Knox
and Charlie.
Jody, you bastard.